Well, good morning. You know, there are days when you just got to declare that, isn't it? Your praise will ever be on my lips. This morning, most of you wouldn't know, we had a few technical issues, ended up shooting back to the centre to pick some more gear up. And that song came on the car stereo system, and I said, yeah, you know, actually, all this kit is great, and the guys who set it up and do it all every week need a really good round of applause. They do an incredible job. But actually, at the end of the day, it's all about Jesus. It's all about declaring him and his goodness and his greatness and his praise should always be on our lips, whatever's going on around us. And that's what the songwriter grasped, really, was the heart of the psalmist there and really put it in a great song for us today. Help me this morning anyway. I don't know about you. But that's great. Well, here we are, 29th of November, Christmas, 4 weeks on Friday. Woo! Exciting. Some of you are looking a bit nervous. Here we are then, just entering this Advent season. And if we were with some of our friends in more of the traditional churches, we would probably have an Advent crown at the front of the church. We'd be lighting a first candle today to represent the hope to come. Jesus, they were coming to celebrate his birth in a few weeks' time, and it's all about the hope that is before us. You know, we've been on this little series, haven't we, about going forward and moving forward. And I want to tap into it a little bit because we've been thinking about very much on a personal level in that series about going forward. I want to think on a corporate level this morning as a church going forward into a season of hope rooted in faith. Oh, okay, let's unpack that a little bit. Matthew 12 and 21, there's a quote there from Isaiah 42 about the coming Messiah. And it says, and you know, Hugh's been praying for the nations, in his name, nations will put their hope. You know, and actually when we look around the world today, there's a lot of hopelessness. But actually, if we can get a hold of Jesus, if we can present Jesus to our world, it can bring an incredible amount of hope. And I believe that's the season that we're in, and I want to unpack some things on that for a few moments. If you've got your Bibles, well, you don't need to, actually. It's going to come on screen, so don't worry. I'm going to read just a couple of verses, actually, from a passage that many of you will know really, really well. And it's Hebrews chapter 12. It's a chapter on faith. And I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. It says, faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. Through their faith, the people in days of old earned a good reputation. And then the chapter goes on to catalogue a whole host of people and commending them for their faith in all sorts of circumstances and situations. And in our world today, I believe we need to have some hope. But for the church to bring some hope, we're going to have to exercise some faith. The hurts, the problems, the challenges, the distresses of our world, and you don't have to go very far to find that. You can go to your neighbours, you can go to the people that you work with, the people round about us, financial worries, family problems. Even the world issues can crowd in on us, can't they? I was hearing somebody was relating a story just the other day. You know, after the Paris bombings just 10 days or so ago, and was it 10 days? Is it more than that? 14, whatever. Anyway, yes. Somebody said they encountered a person who was really, really fearful. And they live in Grimsby. But there's something about the closeness, the nearness of what happened in Paris to us geographically that has caught something in our nation. And it's affected so many people. And there's a sense of fear that has gripped some. You know, there are political concerns and, you know, you watch the news and you think, okay, when's the good bit? You know, in a half an hour news program and you get to minute 27 and they put a good news story in just to give us a bit of hope. But actually, most of it is stuff of challenge, of difficulty, of distress, heartache and grief. And today, even in our gathering, you might have some of those feelings, some of those things that are affecting you. Maybe there are people in your life that you can identify and say, actually, they're really struggling. They don't seem to have much in the way of hope. Well, today, I want to declare that you and I have a great message, A, to embrace for ourselves, and B, to proclaim to the world in which we live and to show in very practical ways. You know, how do we find hope? The Bible's very clear, I believe, in that, and it's through Jesus Christ. We sang a song earlier on this morning. It talks about the one who brings our chaos back into order. Jesus brings our chaos back into order. I'll say it again. Jesus brings our chaos back into order. If we allow him, if we open our hearts to him. And, you know, God's people, you and I, can help make a difference in the world in which we live with the people we rub shoulders with, and even in our prayers on national and international scales. The thing about hope, it often deals with the future, doesn't it? It's thinking about something to come, where faith is very much more of a now thing. And hope, when we hope for something and it doesn't happen, we get a bit disappointed, don't we? Or is it just me? You know, be careful what I say. Proverbs tells us that hope deferred makes the heart sick. If hope is always just beyond the next horizon. I remember taking Anne-Marie up Ben Nevis, Scotland, yeah, many, many years ago. And it was a long old walk from Fort William up Ben Nevis. Anybody been up Ben Nevis? Yeah. Oh, well done, Fran. Fantastic. But it's a long old walk, isn't it, Fran, to go up it? And, you know, Anne-Marie was a bit hesitant about the whole concept of climbing Ben Nevis, the highest mountain in the UK. But anyway, you know, I was enthusiastic and managed to sort of get her initially on the path at least. And so what we were doing, we were walking, and it was August, and it was nice weather, it was a great day, clear sky. And she said, and we've been walking for ages, and an up an incline, you know, as you would. It's logical, isn't it? And she said, how much farther is it? I said, I'm sure it's just over the next ridge. And we walked over the next ridge, and it's like, oh, it goes up a bit more. And I said, and we've been walking again for ages. She said, how much? I'm sure it's just, and I tell you what, her hope was getting deferred. She was getting a bit sick of it by the end. Fair dues to us. She pushed through. She made it. Woohoo. You can cheer, but she's not here. It wouldn't make any difference. You know, so there are things in our personal lives that we hope, we're hoping for something to be accomplished, something to be established, something to come to fruition. And it's like, you know, and it can happen in church life, can't it? We can have a hope for something. When's it going to happen? Well, if it doesn't happen, we get a bit hope deferred. For example, if I say the word buildings, you know, as a church, we've been looking at buildings for a while. And when I say the word buildings, that will conjure up all sorts of emotions with different people around the room. Some will go, oh no, not this again. And some will say, why aren't the leadership doing anything about this? And some will say, we need to be talking about it more. Some will say, we need to be talking about it less. Well, if we brought everything to the church that we were looking at, you'd soon get frustrated. But I'm going to give you an update this morning. Okay. Just so you know that in 2015, we have been looking. All right? Dear me. I'm going to get myself in trouble here. Right, okay. There's one or two pictures on screen. Sarah will help us out with this. So we've been looking this year. And as you know, right at the very beginning of the year, we were having conversations with the United Reformed Church about the possibility of two churches using one building. Okay, there's one. Just keep clicking through the pictures until I sort of say whatever. And so you've got the pictures of it there. And we came to the conclusion after 3 months that actually that wasn't really going to work for them and for us. So then we started to look again. We got a property consultant to help us and to start to look at one or two things. We looked at the Evening Telegraph warehouse, of all places, on Kent Street. And you think, where on earth is that? Well, it's a it's a back street. Yeah, anyway, it's there. This is Freeman Street, top end, Ryby Square, etc. And it's that bit there. We looked at that. And then we looked at the... this is some other pictures of the warehouse place. And then we looked at the... It's called the old Cooperage on East Street, just round the corner from the town hall. Okay? Some of you are thinking, where's that? Well, it's a building that's falling down. If you can understand where that is. There's one or two pictures will come up. So we had a look at that. And then, more recently, we had a look at something called Castle Press on Victoria Street. It's recently just been sold, but we looked at... Come on, Sarah, give it a click. There you go. So this is the little retail park. That used to be Staples. It's not that anywhere. It's next, just down here, etc. So backing onto the docks, up the top there. That's it from the front. But there are challenges and issues with each of those places. So we're not going for any of them. All right? So the next one we started looking at was a piece of land that quite a few of us have had our eye on for quite a time. And the owners of the land are Associated British Ports. And so we started making inquiries with ABP. If you want to put the picture on, Sarah. And if you think this is Freshney Place, this is the River Freshney, it's the land at the back of there. We started making inquiries about that. We got information back from them, said they'd love to talk to us, but there is another interested party. And if you follow the Evening Telegraph, 2 weeks ago, it was announced who that other interested party may or may not be, because the council, North East Links Council, had highlighted a number of sites in Grimsby and the area that are potential sites for Grimsby Town Football Stadium. And that's one of them. Whatever you think about it, that is one of a number. And the Grimsby Town fans are all shaking their head. I'd say we don't want it there. Great, fantastic. I don't know whether the Evening Telegraph is still doing that poll. You could go on the Telegraph website and tick where you think is best for Grimsby Town Football Ground. If you'd like us to keep pursuing that one, go and tick another box. we've got a meeting scheduled with them just to discuss this whole thing. Is that coming off in the new year, Hugh? Yeah. Coming off in the middle of January. So, you know, there are things, but if we brought every one of those things as they were coming up, you'd get a bit fed up with it. Some of you wouldn't because you're really interested. But, you know, sometimes as leadership, you've got to make judgment calls, and we make judgment calls of, you know, those sort of things. And if you don't like that, wait till you're in leadership. You can make the judgment calls. Okay. So we've had a number of things, you know, and if you're not careful, you can easily get into hope deferred and get a bit sick of it. And we don't ever want to do that. We want to hear and respond to the Spirit of God and what the Spirit of God is saying, but do it in a wise way. I always think of... just let me follow this up. So, if that land is available to us and we do have the opportunity to build something on it, how many of you know that's not going to happen in the next 3 months? There are some short-term things that we may have to do. Now, some Sundays, this place gets very busy, yes? And if you happen to be late, and most of you aren't, I know, but one or two of you may on occasions find yourself coming late, it's difficult to find a seat, particularly if you've got a family and you all want to sit together. So we are, and we haven't made a decision on this, just clear me, we are looking at, in the spring of next year, as things continue to grow, whether we go into multiple services. That's a big ask. That's a big challenge. That's a whole load of stuff that we are considering. We have not made a decision on that. Please pray for us with regard to that and for the future. Okay. So there's this whole thing about hope for the future. You know, and there's a hope. We've had prophetic words about buildings, etc. There is a hope. But somewhere along the line, faith has to kick in. Because there is a difference between faith and hope. The Apostle Paul, when he writes in 1 Corinthians 13, that well-known chapter about love, he concludes the chapter with this statement. Now, these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. But there's faith and there's hope. Hope to look forward to with confidence and expectation. But faith is all about the belief that does not rest on logical proof or material evidence. You just know that you know that you know that it's a done deal. Noah, it says in Hebrews 11, when warned about things yet to be seen, in holy fear he built an ark to save his family. He knew. Noah, by faith, built this ark. And the difference, I think, is often between hope and faith. As I said a few moments ago, hope is somewhere in the future, almost just over the horizon there. But faith is something about the now. In fact, if you read Hebrews 12, the first verse in some translations, it actually says, now faith is. And if you play on the words, it's now faith. That's not theologically correct, but it works for me. Romans 8, you see, says this. Paul says this in Romans 8, 24. Who hopes for what he already has? If you've already got it, you don't need to hope for it. Use this as an example. Some of you have got children here in kids' church, and some of you will no doubt have heard, we used to have a little rule in our house, actually, that this didn't happen till December. But you will no doubt have heard what their aspirations and hopes are for 4 weeks on Friday. What they would love to receive on Christmas Day. That's hope, isn't it? They are hoping for it. But if you've already said to them, I'm going to get you this for Christmas, that's a whole different ballgame, because you know it's coming. Huh? There's something very clear. Hope is, yeah, I'm really hoping and expecting something's going to happen. Faith is accepting it's a done deal. It's a done deal. Hebrews 11:1 defines faith as being sure of what we hope for, certain of what we do not see. And I really do believe our world, the people we rub shoulders with, Northeast Lincolnshire, needs a great deal of hope. But we need to be people of faith. It was interesting the other day, I went to visit Steve. Great to see Steve here this morning. And Mary, fantastic. Is it okay if I give a little update, Steve? Okay, let me give a little update. Many of you will know that Steve had a mini stroke a number of weeks ago, and then a fortnight later suffered a heart attack. And so we've been praying for him, and it's great to have him here this morning. He and Mary have been discussing that and seeking God about that, and they feel it's right time for Steve to retire, because he works, many of you know, a day and a half a week for the church, and in that pastoral role, and also overseeing some of the CAP stuff and a line managing role for CAP as well. And so a little bit of sadness, but a recognition of where Steve's at. And you know, Steve, bless him, he's had to work with me for 18 years. That deserves a clap in anybody's book. I said to Steve the other day, I was only 35, crumbs, because it was the January of 1998 that we started working together, which is fantastic. So we honour you, Steve, for all that you've done and for the roles, different roles and responsibilities he's had over the years. And I popped in to see Steve and Mary on Thursday, and I said to him, you know, we were chatting about all this, and I said, well, I think I'm going to buy you something. He said, what's that? I said, I'm going to buy you a notebook with pull-out sheets of paper, because I am still anticipating that the prophetic flow from your life is not going to stop, and you're going to keep bringing those prophetic notes and sharing them with me. And that's what I'm expecting. So I declared that, and then said, let's pray. So we prayed together, and then Steve shared one of those prophetic moments with me, which was great. Because sometimes, you know, when you declare things, things happen. So that was great. But the thing he said, you know, we've seen a number of transitions over the years, some quite significant ones. But he said, I really believe you're going to see in 2016 some really significant and a really significant transition. And, you know, that can mean many things, and I'm sure Steve probably doesn't know what all that is defined as. But I just think, wouldn't it be great? Wouldn't it be fantastic to go from a sense of hope to a sense of faith for some things in 2016? To take a step, to go forward into a new season. That we are carriers of hope to this world, but we're operating in faith at a new level. And I believe God wants to encourage us in that today. Some of you have heard me say these things before. So I don't apologize for it. But some of you, if I say the name Lawrence Nesant, you will know who he is. He's a church leader in Oklahoma City, in Oklahoma. And he visited Grimsby a good number of years ago now, and he shared some stuff that really stuck with me. And he said this, he made these statements. He said, your thoughts produce an attitude. How many of you know that's true? The Bible says, as a man thinks, so he is. Your thoughts produce an attitude. And, you know, the more we are operating in that realm of faith, you know, that's going to affect our attitude. Affect our attitude. And then he said, your attitude produces an atmosphere. How many of you know that's true? You know, somebody can walk in a room, huh? And they, oh no, that's the next one. Your thoughts produce an atmosphere. Yeah, no, that's true. Your attitude produces an atmosphere. You know, I think we've all probably been in a room when somebody walks in and they've got an attitude on them, and it changes the atmosphere. Yeah? And sometimes it's not always good. And you think, aye. I want to be somebody who's bringing something of an attitude that changes the atmosphere for good in 2016. Well, and what's left of 2015? We've still got a month to go. And then Lawrence said, an atmosphere sustained produces a climate. And that always reminds me of, you know, the Eden Project down in Cornwall, where you've got those big biospheres. And I remember reading about them, massive great greenhouses, effectively, big domes. And it says they create an atmosphere in there that allows things to grow that would not normally grow. I thought, what a great thing that we can affect the atmosphere and things can happen. And as that is sustained, a climate sustained produces a culture. Things just happen. It just becomes the norm then as things happen. You know, it's linked a little bit with what Hugh was talking last week, because, you know, on one end you can get quite triumphalistic in that. But yet on the other end, you can get quite depressed because of the state of the world and its situation. But somewhere there's a middle ground that's a blessed place to walk, knowing that we can make a difference, knowing and acknowledging there are challenges in our world, but yet we can make a difference as individuals and corporately together as God's people. So what did God's people, his agents of hope, look like? Very quickly, I looked at the early part of the Acts of the Apostles for some pointers, the early church. And I submit to you, and you can agree or disagree with this, but Acts chapter 2, when the disciples were gathering together in that upper room, they were operating as a measure of hope. They'd heard what Jesus had said, but they were operating in hope. The psalmist perhaps would have put it this way, Psalm 119, verse 74. I have put my hope in your word. There's something about putting hope in God's word. I put my hope in your word. It's not vain hope. It's not the vain hope that Grimsby Town will get promoted this year from the Vanamara National League. It's all gone quiet now. Do you want me to prophesy, did somebody say? Now, that would take effect, no. But there was something about it that they knew they'd just got to keep gathering and keep gathering and keep gathering in that upper room until the day of Pentecost arrived and the Spirit of God, the fulfillment of that prophetic declaration of Jesus, comes about. And in Acts 2, 120 of them, filled with the Holy Spirit, having incredible results, spilling out onto the street, seeing 3,000 people brought into the kingdom of God on one day. And to facilitate what God was doing, they put some very practical things in place. They devoted themselves, it says at the end of Acts 2, to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to breaking of bread, to prayer. And it says they were all filled with awe. Do you know there's some practical things that you and I can do that are really going to help on our journey as we go forward in this season of hope rooted in faith? And I think their faith began to arise. I'm sure it's got to have arisen when they see those sort of things happening. Again, the Apostle Paul in Romans 15 makes this statement, verse 13. May the God of hope fill you with joy and peace as you trust in him. Get this. So that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And if we're going to bring hope to our world, if it's going to overflow from us, there needs to be an empowering of God's Spirit in our lives. Overflow of hope. Let's believe for an overflow of hope as we come to the end of 2015 and go into 16.